Good morning. I don't know about the cool part. It is still quite a ways till Christmas, but you wouldn't know it from outside. We're going to talk today, though, about gifts, about presents. So think now. Think of the best gift you've ever received. Maybe it was a sweater, a pair of socks. I'm thinking maybe it was something more personal, though, thoughtful. You know, perhaps you were in a pickle in your life. You needed help, and some generous person really helped meet your need. You know, we had a woman here at the Vineyard. She needed a car, and someone gave her a car. That's one crazy gift. Or maybe you just had a baby, and someone gave you the perfect present that made it so much easier. Finally, that baby would sleep. You know, when my kids were little, we built a playset for them, you know, a wooden playset in the backyard, and pencil pusher me was out there, like, putting it together, and my father-in-law shows up with this brand-new, giant cordless drill. It was like the perfect present at the perfect time. You know, and the thing about great gifts, it's really the love that shines through. It's less about the gift than the love. You know, many of us, we have that person in our life that is just the great gift giver. You know, they always come up with the most thoughtful gift. For me, it's my daughter Helen or my buddy Paul. And, you know, I like to think of those people as like gift-giving show-offs with all their thoughtful gifts. Because I want to be honest, I am a horrible gift giver. For Christmas, I have given my wife good, high-quality appliances. You know, I gave her a great vacuum cleaner. I really do stink at it. It's not my love language. So I have to like work at it to love people in that way. But you know who is a great, actually the best gift giver? God. He gives amazing gifts. He is incredibly generous. In fact, think about the best gift you've ever received from God. Actually, this is something that's really helpful to do every day. Every morning, I like to take time to think about what has God given me to thank him for that. It's a little thing, but it has actually changed my life. Anyway, think about, like I said, the best gift God has ever given you. You know, in my past life as a corporate attorney, I used to think, well, it's my job. I got this great job, the power, the money, the big house, the beautiful wife. And those were some nice gifts. But you know God's given us something better, right? All of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. Eternal life. You know, every morning I want to thank Jesus for that, for Jesus' love, that he would come and suffer and die for me, right? That he would go to the cross, that he would go to hell in my place to pay the price for all the bad things I've done, so I could have his perfection, his righteousness, eternal life. And let me tell you, this eternal life, it's way better than just living forever like a vampire. No, Jesus, he says eternal life is knowing God. Is having an intimate relationship with him, experiencing his presence, his life-changing love, becoming more and more like Jesus until eventually we have the same quality of life that God has, eternal life. That's one hell of a gift. That's the best. So, do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are we receiving this gift from him? Are we, you know, experiencing that love? Because I tell you, we can. God wants to give us all that gift. And actually, if you think about it, this is like God's, I don't know, master plan, right? I mean, this is how Jesus became king of the world, how he's going to make the world perfect again, how his kingdom's going to come, his will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we got all like big picture there, but it's helpful, right? We need that, the perspective to know what God's ultimate goal is, what his ultimate gift is. Everything else we're going to talk about today points back to that. But I tell you, God is not the kind of father that like gives you that one big gift on Christmas and then never gives the kids any gifts ever again. No, Jesus dying on the cross was a whopper of a present, but there's more gifts. Jesus, he said, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yeah, if we're followers of Jesus, we get a present. We get the Holy Spirit, God's power and his presence in us, changing us, making us more like Jesus. But there's more. The Holy Spirit gives us presence too. Absolutely, he does. And that's where we're going to focus today, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are like, they're like God's power tools, right? They're these great things that we get, the things like healing and prophecy and miracles, you know, wisdom and mercy and, you know, encouragement, all these great gifts that we get that show God's power, and they also go beyond our own abilities. You know, for me in my life, when God got a hold of me, I wasn't like some public speaker, right? I was like a nerd with stage fright. And the fact that I can get up here and talk and some of you can hear from God, that still astonishes me. And it's not just for me. For every follower of Jesus, God gives us presence. He gives us power tools. We get these gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, some of us, we don't unwrap them. We can let them sit dormant. Or we can actually use them and we can ask for more of them. And I'll tell you, they are supernatural gifts, which at first can seem a little weird, but they're really practical too. God gives us these gifts so we can lovingly meet other people's needs. Ultimately, the gifts, using the gifts, they point to Jesus. They help us become more and more like Jesus, which is so Holy Spirit, right? That's what he does. That's the business he's in. So today, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, all right? And for some of us, that's going to be new, right? We never heard, really talked about this before. For lots of us, we have heard about it before, and so we might bring some baggage along. You know, things that we've been taught that aren't really true and might not actually be in the Bible. For example, maybe we went to a church that was just obsessed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and maybe like one in particular, like if you don't speak in tongues, if you don't have a personal prayer language, when there's something wrong with you. Not true. The Bible doesn't actually say that. Or on the other hand, some churches are like, oh no, gifts of the Holy Spirit, we just ignore them, right? Oh yeah, those just died out with the early church. In fact, they might be dangerous. Actually, not true, right? Bible doesn't actually say that. My point is, wherever you're coming at today, from today, wherever you're coming from, just keep an open mind, okay? Let's just put all the baggage down, and let's just listen to God. Let's see what the Bible says. What does the Holy Spirit have for us? Actually, let's ask him to do that right now. Why don't you join me in prayer? You know, God, I just welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need you. We need your presence. I ask today that you teach us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You show us what they're for. In fact, you actually give us those gifts so that we can use them, so we can meet people's needs and point them to Jesus. I ask that you change our lives today in really cool and amazing ways that bring us closer to eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen. Okay, so sometimes it helps to start with the obvious. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts. Yeah, they're gifts. And, you know, like most gifts in life, they tend to be surprises. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is surprising people with spiritual gifts. I mean, to start out with, right, first off, it's surprising who gets these gifts. You know, the Holy Spirit, he gives spiritual gifts to, like, good people, and he gives them to murderers, like Moses and David. You know, really smart people get these gifts, like Dr. Luke. And dumb people get these gifts, like Bonehead Samson. You know, you see emotional people getting these gifts, like hot-headed Peter. And also, like, logical, analytical people, like Paul, get these gifts. For us, many of us have been surprised when we've received these cool spiritual gifts. For you, have you ever got to, like, pray for someone and they were healed? Or maybe you got to give someone a prophetic word, you know, a word from God. Anything kind of like that happen in your life? If not, why not? Why is God not giving us all spiritual gifts? Is it because we're just, like, new Christians? Or maybe we're just not really that good of followers of Jesus. We, you know, we don't read our Bible or pray much. Or maybe is it just because we're still stuck, right? We're still struggling with anger and addiction, whatever it is. Is that it? No, it's not any of that. Because I'll tell you, they're gifts, and gifts are free. You can't deserve a gift. Just like nobody deserves Jesus dying on the cross for them, right? These are gifts. If we think, well, you know, there's somebody that must be more worthy of spiritual gifts than me, or, you know, there must be a better candidate for, you know, healing someone or doing a miracle. Surprise, no, there's not. There's not. You don't deserve a free gift, but you can ask for it. I tell you, this is a place where too many of us get stuck. We get hung up, right, in thinking that we don't deserve it. Let me tell you, you don't deserve it, period. You don't. I'm trying to be more compassionate. That didn't come out very compassionate. But you don't. You really just don't. Let's be like children, right? Like, let's go like children. You know, children go to the person that loves them, and they expect things they don't deserve. They ask for things that they don't deserve. Let's be like that. You know, another place that a lot of us get hung up is we run from the spiritual gifts. We don't unwrap our presents because we don't want to be weird. Yeah, maybe we've gone to a meeting or we've seen on TV people use spiritual gifts and it was weird, right? They were yelling, it was all hyped up, or you know, they were rolling around and carrying on, and we're like, nah, man, I'm not gonna be weird. Hey, it doesn't have to be weird. Jesus, right? Jesus wasn't weird. Okay, there was that spitting bit, which was a little bit odd, but other than the spitting, right? Jesus wasn't weird when he healed people, when he prayed for them, when he did miracles. He was just Jesus, right? Down to earth Jesus, walking around, doing this stuff was just part of his life. We like to say that he was naturally supernatural. And that's how we want to use the spiritual gifts here at the Vineyard, right? Like Jesus did, hopefully without spitting. That's how we want to use them, naturally supernatural. So we don't have to change ourselves. We don't have to, you know, talk weird or act weird. We don't need manipulation or hype, right? We just need to be open and ourselves. Like, Holy Spirit, I'm available, right? If you want to heal someone, if you want to point them to Jesus, if you want to show them mercy or give them a prophetic word, I'm available. Can we just ask and be ourselves? Okay, so these spiritual gifts, we should ask for them, absolutely. We should want them, right? And the thing is, we got to remember that they're gifts. I am old, but I do remember being a kid, and one Christmas I asked for a particular gift from my parents, right? I asked for a video game machine. I wanted one of those Ataris so I could play Pong. You know, I am actually that old. I remember the first Atari. And I made a good argument for this. I told them why they should give me this for Christmas. I made the case. It was convincing. I was surprised when I didn't get it. So I asked my mom, like, what went wrong here? You know, I mean, why'd you guys let me down? And my mom just said, you know, Christmas presents are gifts, and you can ask for what you want, but the giver picks the gift. Little John didn't want to hear that, right? He was disappointed, but I knew it was true, right? I had good parents, and they were always going to do what they thought was best for me. I was never going to get to pick my gifts. You see how this works with God, right? The Holy Spirit, right? He always gives us what he thinks is best for us. And the cool thing is, he's God. He actually knows what's best for us, even when we don't. Throughout the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit surprising people with power tools that are the best thing. They're just the right thing at just the right time. You know, what they need to meet practical needs, to point people to Jesus. Classic example of this is when the church began, the start of the church at Pentecost. Let's take a quick look at that. All of them, again, this is when the church is beginning, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Well, it means the Holy Spirit gave the perfect gift, right? The ability to speak a language you don't know, you've never learned. It was exactly what they needed to point people to Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit picks the perfect gifts for us. He absolutely does. He surprised everybody. It was a wild gift, but it was the perfect gift for us. Can we stop being such control freaks and let the Holy Spirit pick our gifts? You know, maybe we've been obsessed with some particular gift and we've been asking for it. You know, the gift of teaching or tongues, whatever it is. Well, can we just relax and unwrap the presence he's actually given us? Or can we just welcome whatever gift he has for us, right? It might surprise us, it might seem crazy, but he actually knows best. Can we receive what he's gonna give us? Can we say, Holy Spirit, I'm available, right? Whatever it is, give me that gift to meet this need, to help people, to point them to Jesus. Can we just be open to that? Okay, again, like in life, the gifts of the Holy Spirit tend to be surprises, right? And they're great surprises, wonderful surprises. But let's get more specific now, right? What exactly are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, actually, in the Bible, there are 5 lists of different gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's one in Romans 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, there's actually 2 of them. There's another in Ephesians 4, and then you can find the last one in 1 Peter 4. 5 lists. And all these lists are actually a little bit different, right? They're different examples. They're not a long, you know, there's no like complete catalog list of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which kind of makes sense in a way because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts from the King, right? They are these abilities. We get these special abilities to actually reveal God and his love, his power, right? And, you know, you can't limit that. You can't, you know, put that in a box. The King of the universe can give you any gift that he wants. I haven't heard of anyone getting X-ray vision yet, but he absolutely could do that. He can. It's unlimited. Now, the lists, though, in the Bible, they are helpful because they show us what's possible. They show us what God's done before. So let's look at 2 of those lists. We're going to start out with the one in 1 Corinthians. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Okay, and then we'll jump now to Romans 12. It says there, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do so diligently. If it is to show mercy, do so cheerfully. Okay. These special abilities, right? And people have tried to categorize them, to, you know, group them, and that's interesting. But what I would ask is that we kind of shift our thinking a little. Let's think about what needs do these gifts meet? What needs? Some of these spiritual gifts, they meet the need for healing, right? They heal our sickness and our brokenness. You know, some of these abilities, they pick us up when we're down, or we see abilities here that inform us when we're ignorant or challenge us, correct us when we get off track. All of these things, they connect us with God's love. Do you see what this adds up to? There is no human need, no physical, spiritual, psychological, relational need that a spiritual gift can't meet. Yeah, I mean, think about it. The Holy Spirit could always do some miracle and meet that need. Meet that need. Now, of course, God doesn't meet all of our gifts or meet all of our needs with spiritual gifts, right? He's still good with us having jobs and going to hospitals, right? But this is incredibly cool how practical the Holy Spirit is. We don't just meet the Holy Spirit on top of some mystical mountain. No, no. We meet him as he meets practical, real needs. For us, we get to use the spiritual gifts to lovingly meet people's needs and make a real difference in their lives. And that points them to Jesus. That makes us more and more like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want in on this. This is so cool. I want the people around me to experience more and more of God's presence and his love. I want that for me too. I want it to change us so we become more like Jesus, so we get more and more of this eternal life business. This is great stuff. And the spiritual gifts, they're the power tools that help make it happen, right? So the question is, what power tools do you have? What spiritual gifts have you got? Do you reckon, you see though on the list some of them and you're like, oh yeah, that's me, I got that. That's something God's doing in my life. Or are we not sure what we've got? You know, everyone, every follower of Jesus gets a present, gets a power tool. That's how it works. It was in what we read before, actually. Can look at it again. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Each one of us gets a gift, each follower of Jesus. That word each there, actually, the Greek word can also be translated every. Every one of us gets a spiritual gift, every follower of Jesus. So what do you got? Do you got something and you don't want to unwrap it? You're kind of afraid of it? Or do you really just don't know? And if that's the case, I mean, maybe think about what in your life is like easy, almost oddly, supernaturally easy for you to do. What do you just love doing? Maybe you love having people over and making them feel welcome. Gift of hospitality. Or maybe you love talking about the Bible and showing people how it fits together. Could be the gift of teaching. Or maybe you love giving, being just extraordinarily generous. Giving is a gift. You know, when we look at what we love, we can often find our gifts and our passions. Or on the flip side, what really bugs you? Like you come to church, maybe you come here, and something just really, you're dissatisfied with it, you know? They should do more to take care of the poor, right? I have some great ideas, or we could be doing better at telling people about Jesus, or, you know, how could we gotta press into this praying for miracles. Well, maybe you have the gift of mercy or the gift of evangelism, or maybe even God's gonna give you miraculous powers. That can point to our gifts. If you really just don't know what your gifts are, well, we have a Finding Your Fit class here at the Vineyard, or, you know, we got books in the bookstore, or you could ask God. How about this? Just take 5 minutes every day from now until Pentecost, or as normal people are calling it this year, June 9th. 5 minutes alone with God between now and then, and just ask him, God, what gifts are you giving me? What power tools do I got? Let him show you. Let's unwrap our presence, because we get to partner with what God is doing in this world. We get the privilege and we get the responsibility of helping to meet people's needs and pointing them to Jesus and helping us all become more and more like Jesus. Yeah, we got these gifts and we got to use them, which kind of begs a question. How do we use the spiritual gifts? Well, the Bible is super clear about this. It is all about love, all about love. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and have all knowledge, and I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. The only way to use the spiritual gifts right is with love. But that's not always what we do. I mean, when we're passive, when we're not using our spiritual gifts, that's a lack of love, selfishness. When we're overwhelmed, when we're burnt out, when we're like serving people, using our gifts to help them, but we feel empty inside, that's a lack of love. We're not connecting with God's love. When we're all swaggering and powering up with our gifts, lack of love. When we're jealous and envious of gifts, lack of love. See, the only way to use these gifts in a healthy way where no one gets hurt, no one loses a finger, is with love, right? Otherwise, we're going to hurt people. We're going to hurt ourselves. Actually, let's start with ourselves, okay? Because one of the things about using these power tools, these gifts, is there, we're to use them to love ourselves. I think we don't always believe that. It's like when we're out in the world, right? The ordinary world, every day at work or school or someplace, and we see someone that they're struggling, right? Maybe they're sick, and we get that nudge, like the Holy Spirit's like, hey, them, pray for them, ask them, can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you right now? And we don't want to do it, because we don't want to be all weird and awkward, right? And we know, you know, God might love them in this situation. He's going to love them. He might even heal them. And we know God loves, he seems to love to heal people, but we're like, what about me, God? What about me? I don't want to be all weird and awkward. I love what Rich Nathan, the Vineyard pastor in Columbus, says. Spiritual gifts are not given to make you weird. Someone should write that down. Wait, he did. Spiritual gifts are not given to make you weird, to make you talk funny. They are the means through which you get to experience God's presence. They are signs of God's love to you, and signs of God's love to others through you. Oh, that's good stuff. But you see how we miss out on it, right? By worrying about whether we're weird. See, we got to get over ourselves, then we could experience so much more of God's love. If we could just get over ourselves, we could experience so much of God's love. I tell you, how about the next time we get the nudge, right, to use a spiritual gift? What if we were just like, okay, cool, God, you love me, right? And I am open to your love. Let's go love this person together. Could we be open in that way? We get past ourselves. Okay, next. We're to use the power tools, the presence, spiritual gifts. We're to use them to love the church. The Bible talks about that, loving the church. It was actually, again, in what we read before, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then later in Corinthians, it says, so it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Okay, think about it this way. You can't really love your physical body, you know, this bodies that we have. You can't really love your physical body if you never exercise, if you become all soft and jiggly, right? We got to exercise to love these bodies. Now, most of us, when we exercise, we just do what we want, right? So you see those guys that are doing all the, like, bench pressing, and they got these giant chests, but then you look down, and they got these tiny little legs. That's interesting. Or you see the folks that just love cardio. They're always running on the treadmill or doing the stair stepper, right? They got this great aerobic ability, but they can hardly lift a toaster. Doing that kind of, it creates an odd body, right? We could love our bodies better than that. This is a picture of what happens in lots of churches, right? There's churches that they don't really want to exercise some of the gifts of the Spirit, right? They're not welcome. Those gifts aren't really welcome there. And so you get these churches that could be like just a giant mouth and 2 feet, right? The pastor preaches, and then they're running around doing evangelism. But there's no hands that are praying for people for healing. And there's no ears. They're not really listening to God's voice, to prophecy. And there's no arms hugging people, no gift of hospitality. And that's a strange picture, right? Mouth and feet, and that's distorted, right? That's not healthy. It's underdeveloped. Here's the thing, right? You and me, if we're followers of Jesus, we are the body of Christ. We're the church. And the Bible is clear. The body needs all its parts. No part is more important than any other part, right? We're in trouble when spiritual gifts get unappreciated, unwelcomed, unused. And let's not point our fingers at other churches, right? Let's point our finger right here, Duluth Vineyard. We want to be, let's make this place a place where everyone's spiritual gifts are welcome and are used. Right? This is the way that we love each other. I love how people are doing it now, right? They're using their gifts. They're coming up and praying for people on the prayer ministry team. They're with the kids. They're use gift of mercy in the food. People are doing this now. Let's all do it. Let's all use our spiritual gifts. Let's press into it farther because we're a family and families love each other. This is a great way to do it. Okay, next. We use the power tools, the presence, to love the world. And this world longs for God and his love. You can see it all around us, right? People are—they're looking to entertainment or technology, their smart devices. They're looking to science or to new spirituality for answers, for something to fill the hole in their life. But really, the only thing that can give us real life, eternal life, is God. But today, how are people going to know that God is real? Well, I mean, we can give them our best argument, right? We got intellectual gifts, right? We can discuss and debate and try to persuade them. You don't have to, like, turn your brain off to follow Jesus, not at all. And I love these intellectual gifts. I tell you, I really do. But we should never forget that we've also got power tools, right? We got spiritual gifts. The Bible, it talks about, it says that these spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Spirit. Okay, what's that about? Well, God's invisible, right? You know this, right? God's invisible, but this world longs to see him, to know him. When we use spiritual gifts, God uses that to manifest himself, right? To become visible, to let people see him and know him. So for us, when we're out and when we use our spiritual gifts, not just here, but like when we're in the real world, right? We're at work or at school or wherever we are, and we use spiritual gifts, then people can see that God is alive and well. They can see him. That is incredibly cool. For us, I bet you can think of someone in your life who needs to see that God is real, that he's alive, that needs more of God's love in their life. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, think of someone, actually. Think of people. A neighbor, a coworker, a friend, maybe a relative. Could we partner with God on what he's doing in their life? Could we say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, Lord, what can I do to help, right? How do you want to love that person? How do you want them to experience your presence, right? Is there a need that you're going to meet, right? Surprise me. Surprise me with what, you know, my neighbor, my friend, crazy Uncle Larry, with that they need. Let me be part of that. You know, if they need a word of prophecy, I could tell them. You know, if they need healing, I'd pray for them. If they need to experience incredible generosity or hospitality beyond my abilities, I'm in. God, I want them to experience your presence and your life-changing love. What can I do to help? What can I do to help? I tell you, some of us, maybe right now, are getting instructions from God. We see people, he's telling us what to do. Just do what he's saying. For all of us, we can press into this. We can ask God for this. We totally can. We should. I tell you, a big part of following Jesus is using the spiritual gifts. The Bible says, it actually kind of commands us. It says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Can we do that? Can we eagerly desire spiritual gifts? I tell you what, let's press into it right now. Why don't you step up, stand up with me, just stand up, and let's press into this. We're going to move into what we call ministry time here at the Vineyard. It's a time to talk to God, hear what else he has to say. So let's get started. Holy Spirit, come. God, I welcome more and more of your presence here and now for each one of us. Come. And Holy Spirit, as we've been talking about you and your gifts, some of us are realizing we're not followers of Jesus. We don't have a relationship with you. So if that's us, God, give us that incredible gift today. Give us the courage to just surrender to you. To say, I want that. I want Jesus dying for my sins. I want to become more and more like him and experience eternal life. God, welcome us into that, even right here and right now. And for all of us that are followers of Jesus, you are giving us gifts, Holy Spirit, presents. Help us to unwrap and actually use those presents. All the things that are standing in the way of that, which is mainly us, like, push the nonsense out of the way. If it's that we think we don't deserve it, that somehow we're not worthy, help us to, like, say no to that lie from the devil. These are gifts. They are free gifts to us. We are completely the kind of people you give these gifts to. Help us to see that. Help us to ask for them. God, if we are worried about being weird or awkward or, oh, that's strange, I've never done that. Oh, God, let us get past ourselves. Just lovingly take our hands and say, it's okay. You can trust me. I love you. You will feel my love. It is not weird. It is good. Oh, God. And if we're also, God, in that, just let us give up the control and accept you. God, right here, right now, for each of us, give us the courage to say, Holy Spirit, give me more. Give me more spiritual gifts. So God, right now, I ask for your gifts of prophecy and healing, your gifts of wisdom and teaching, your gifts of encouragement and mercy, whatever the gifts you want to pour out, even x-ray vision. God, whatever you want to do, pour it out on us. Just help us to put our hands out and receive from you these power tools that we can use to meet other people's needs. Pour them out, God. Pour them out. You know, I think for some of us, God, you know, it's easier for us to look at it from the need perspective. Maybe God is highlighting people in our lives and even their needs. And if that's the case, God, help us to see the gift we need to meet that need and to have the courage to ask for it. God, I know this person needs, they need encouragement or they need faith. And God, give me the gift of faith that I could share with them. God, give me the gift of evangelism because they need to hear about you. God, help, show, bring people's faces to mind, pictures of people that we can love, we can serve them through spiritual gifts. And they can see Jesus and we can both become more and more like Jesus. God, do that miracle in our lives. Let us be part of what you are doing in this world. You're doing incredible things. Invite us into it. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. We need your love. Come. You know, I'd also like to invite the ministry team to come forward. And a great way to press in to change in your life, to receive incredible blessing from God is to come up and let someone pray for you. A great thing to do would be to come up and say, hey, I want spiritual gifts. Maybe you know what the gift that God's asking you to ask for. Come up and let someone pray for that. Maybe you don't know. You don't even know you need that gift. Let someone pray for you in your life. Maybe you've received gifts and God's done great things and you want to celebrate that. Oh, we'd love to pray for that. Actually, if there's any place in your life that you need God's power at work, let us pray for that. Physical healing, in your relationships, financially. If there's anything that you're struggling with, or maybe it's not that you're struggling. Maybe it's you have a dream for what God can do in this world, but you don't have the power to do that. What do you know? God has the power tools. Come up and let someone pray for you. It can totally change your life. You know, they're going to lead us in some more worship, and I'm just going to encourage you to slow down and stay. God has presents for you. Unwrap those presents before you leave here today. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.